If you would turn with me this Sabbath morning to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we read from verse 22 to verse 33. Matthew 14, verse 22 to verse 33. Let us hear God's word. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Dear brethren, in the providence of God, we find ourselves at times in the midst of difficulties. If you remember those words of our Saviour in Luke, which if you intendeth to build a tower, doth not sit down first and count the cost. And there is a cost in following Christ. There is a cross to bear. And so we will find ourselves in difficulties from time to time. Our Lord said, In the world ye shall have tribulation. However, be comforted, the Lord went on to say, But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16 and verse 33. We're here before us in Matthew 14. We are presented with a crossing over the Lake of Galilee. And as those disciples crossed that lake, they faced a storm. And they found themselves in difficulties. Yet our Lord comes to their aid. And he helps them and delivers them from the storm. As we come to these words this morning, and as a title to this sermon, consider divine assistance in stormy weather. Divine assistance in stormy weather. Peter here in the midst of a storm, with doubts troubling his heart, cried out to the Lord for help. And through divine assistance, he was supported, and all those disciples were brought through the storm. Now notice those words of that little prayer at the end of verse 30. Lord, save me. Though it was brief, it was to the point, earnestly uttered, and truly meant. And oh dear brethren, when we are in straits, it is so important we look up to the Lord and we cry earnestly from the depths of our hearts to him for help. We read in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. A little later, he is our help. He is the one we need in the storms of life. Oh, it is so important then that we straightaway look up to him and cry out earnestly from the depths of our hearts for help and strength. In Psalm 107, In verses 25 to verse 28, we are presented with a voyage, and there's a storm, and the sailors cry out to the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 107, verse 25 to verse 28. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And there are those sailors in the midst of the storm. When they're at their wit's end, they cry up to the Lord for help. But here on a certain occasion, after the feeding of the 5,000, our Lord constrained his disciples to get into a ship. And there in verse 23 we read, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He sent the disciples to get into a ship. He sent the multitudes away, and he himself went up the mountain to pray. Well, there in verse 24, we read, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And those experienced fishermen were now in a storm. They were facing difficulty. And there are times when we face stormy weather. Suddenly, we enter a storm and we're in difficulty. Well, as we come to these words this morning, I'd like us to consider firstly, sent into the pathway of a storm. Sent into the pathway of a storm. And dear brethren, dear congregation, this is so important to recognize that those disciples were sent into the pathway of the storm. The Lord was over all, and the Lord is over all our lives. And if we grasp this truth, that the Lord even sends us into the pathway of a storm, it will be a comfort to us. For if he sent us, he is able to deliver us, for he is sovereign over all. Come with me to verse 22. And Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Our Lord constrained his disciples to get into a ship. The word has the meaning of to compel, to necessitate. It's a strong word. Jesus constrained his disciples. They were left in no doubt. They were to get into the ship and they were to make that journey across the sea. They must go that way. And in the providence of God, we must go at times into the pathway of a storm. Sometimes the Lord delivers us from entering a storm in his providence. But there are other times, as we see here, when we are sent into the pathway of a storm. We must face that difficulty for his glory and for our good. Jesus constrained his disciples. That was the way they must go. And in our lives, there are times when we, in providence, will go into a time of difficulty. A storm is sent to us. And then we see that in Psalm 107 and verse 25. Turn with me to these words, for they're so helpful. It's like a commentary to these words here. Psalm 107 and verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He commandeth. A few years ago, we often sung those words in the psalm. and we would concentrate on the latter part of the psalm. But then an old gentleman came up to me. Always begin at verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. And that's so important. He commandeth. All things are in his providence. There is nothing outside his most holy and wise providence. It extends to all. In the old catechism we read, what are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. All has been decreed. All is in his providence. And so the very difficulties you face are in his providence. He sends. What do we read here? Jesus constrained his disciples. He knew. He sent them. The Lord has so ordered. He has willed to permit. Joseph recognized that God was over the difficult and trying situation he faced. In Genesis 45 and verse 4 we read, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. And then verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it is not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Note those words. God sent me. Consider the difficulties Joseph faced in his life. How he was cruelly taken by his brothers and such evil was fought against him. And then he found himself travelling to Egypt. And there he found difficulties. He would enter prison, falsely accused. But oh, Joseph looked up and he looked to his God and he knew that God had a purpose. And when his brethren came near to him, they were fearful. God sent me before you. What kindness. How amazing Joseph in the storm he faced recognized God's hand and showed kindness to those who had done him wrong. God sent me. My dear brethren, we shall note in a moment the difficulty in a storm, and we face difficulties. We face trying times, but we need to recognize God's sovereignty and say, God sent me. The Lord sent those disciples over the lake. The Lord sent those disciples into the very pathway of a storm. Recognize God's hand. Psalm 107, verse 25, these have been so helpful to me. In times of difficulty, a verse like this, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He commandeth. Listen to Samuel Rutherford. There is no cross or misery that befalls the church of God or any of his children, but is related to God. The Puritan Thomas Watson. Whosoever brings affliction, it is God that sends it. Whosoever brings affliction, it is God that sends it. My dear friends, we need to look to this truth. We need to grasp it. And we need to submit to it. Our Lord constrained his disciples to get into the ship. He raiseth the stormy wind. He is working out his purposes for your very good. Those well-known words in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good, even those difficult times. And perhaps some of us can testify we have learnt much of the Lord in the difficult times, when we have had to be found on our knees, crying out to the Lord for help. All things. Many years ago, when I was a boy at the church I came from near Southampton, there was an elderly gentleman who stood up at an anniversary and brought a greeting at the mealtime. And he read those words. And he said, it's one thing to be able to say those words when things are going well, but can we say them when things are difficult? All things work together for good. Why? Because of his infinite wisdom. And remember, he sends you into the pathway of the storm. Now take comfort here. God is in control. He is over all. His providence extends to all and to all their actions. That being so, we can take comfort that he will bring us through in his good time. He's over all. If God was not over all, and I say this reverently, what hope would we have of being brought to the desired haven of being delivered? But we have hope because he sends us. He raiseth the stormy wind. He's over all. These disciples were constrained to go into the ship. He was over all. He would bring them to their desired haven. And so he will bring us. Psalm 107, verse 30. In times of distress, here's a portion of the word of God of great help. Read it. Psalm 107, verse 30. Verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Verse 25, he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm. Do you see the comfort? When we recognize the sovereignty of God, that he sends us, what a comfort. He will bring us to our desired haven. It may be the Lord will bring you to a place here upon earth. And what is that place? Well, it's the place, the quiet green pastures after a storm. And he's delivered you. That may be the desired haven he brings you to. And my dear brethren, we can look back, and has he not brought us to that desired haven? Quiet, green pastures, and we've been delivered. But oh, look a little further. He will certainly bring you, dear brethren, to the dear desired haven above, when all our trials will be over. And why? Because he's over all. Oh, take the comfort that God sends you to the storm. He's able to deliver you, and he will, for all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, what a thought. One day we will be past the storms of life, and we will be in the bliss of heaven with our glorious Redeemer. But let's move on. And consider briefly, secondly, the storm itself. Notice verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Remember the context here. The Lord sent them into the pathway of a storm. He sent them across the lake. A storm was coming. And there they are. They're in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And that little ship was tossed up. The winds were against them. Down in a place called Muddiford on the south coast, a little lower than the New Forest, is a place of outstanding beauty. And at certain times of the day, the river, which is flowing out to the sea, hits the current coming in. And at that point, the water is very choppy. And little boats are tossed up and down, even on a fairly calm day, because of the contrary currents. Dear brethren, there are times when we're in the storm and we may know trouble in our hearts. Things are going against us. Consider these disciples there. They're in the storm. The winds are against them. And there's fear. We experience stormy weather. In the world ye shall have tribulation. This world isn't heaven, is it? This world isn't home. We long for heaven. But here upon earth, there are many times when we're in the storm and things are going against us. It may be work problems. You're in the workplace and other colleagues are speaking against you. It may be family troubles. And there's difficulties in the family and you're troubled. Things seem against you. Maybe some personal trial. And we find ourselves like the psalmist in the depths and like the psalmist in Psalm 13, knowing sorrow in our heart daily. It's stormy. It's the valley. It's interesting, Psalm 23, isn't it? We think of the green pastures, the still waters. Now think of the still waters. When you come down to verse 4, we have the valley. Now that word, valley, the Hebrew word which is translated valley, at the root of it has waters that are flowing through a valley. Now do you see the context? There's the still waters. Then there's the valley, and there's waters flowing through that valley. It's difficult. It's not easy to walk through the valley. The waters are against you. Difficulty is coming against you. And we know valley experiences, yes. The last valley, it may be very difficult, but we can think of valleys on the way, as it were. Times when it's difficult, personal trials. It may be a season when the devil is very active against us. And there is the fiery darts, one after another, coming towards us. Times of sorrow. The world is not heaven. Here our joys are interrupted by sorrow. In heaven it will be uninterrupted joy and pleasure. But here below, interrupted. Difficult times, sorrow, pain is known within, tears are shed. Further, maybe fear is known. In Psalm 107, verse 27, we read, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Consider back in the Second World War, those crossings across the Atlantic from America to this country. Many a sailor knew fear in their hearts, not only because of the German U-boats, but also because of the mountainous seas. And there was fear. And you remember some of those young men, it was the first time they had crossed a large open space of water. And fear was known. And there may be some difficulties when you know a little fear or a little more fear. Did not these disciples know fear in their hearts? And yet these disciples had known so much of the Lord. They were in close acquaintance. But here we see them. They're fearful. Now consider on this occasion, to begin with, our Lord was not with them. He had constrained his disciples to get into a ship. What did he do in verse 23? He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. So here's the scene. He was up the mountain, and the disciples were in the ship. And his close presence was not known. And there are times when we're in the storm, and we may not even feel his close presence. We know he is there, but oh, that I might find him. And sometimes we may even feel prayer is a struggle. However, take comfort. What was the Lord doing? He was watching them. He had his eye on them. In Mark 6 and verse 48, we read this, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. There they were toiling. It was so hard, so difficult, and that's how it may seem to us and is to us, and we long for the Lord's presence to be near to us, but take comfort. He's watching. He sees us. And when even you may be in the depths, troubled, our blessed King is watching you. What a comfort that is. It's a humbling thing, isn't it? The Lord watches us. But is it not a comforting thing? He keeps his eye upon us. And in that difficult time, we may feel alone like Elijah. And we have low thoughts. But look up and remember, the Lord is watching. And he came to their aid and spoke words of comfort. Notice verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." In this difficult voyage, in this storm, the Lord was watching, and he came unto them. Oh, dear brethren, in those difficult times, the Lord is watching, and he will come to your aid. "I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee." He comes to our aid. Notice those disciples were a little fearful. They did not understand who it was. They were troubled, verse 26. "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And there in that storm, he spoke to them. And dear brethren, we can testify to the praise of God that even in a dark hour at times, the Lord has come. He has come to our aid and he has spoken to us. It may have been a long night, a long season, but he comes and he speaks. Verse 27, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And what comforting words. Oh, look up to him in the storm. Now notice here the cautious request of Peter. The cautious request of Peter in verse 28. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Notice that there. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." A cautious request. But do we not also see there for a moment faith? "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now think of the scene, even you dear young ones, think of the scene. There's a great storm. Peter's cautious. But notice a little faith there. "Bid me come unto thee on the water." To walk on the water. You know, we often have this thought in our minds of Peter just walking across and the sea is fairly calm. Not so. There's a great storm. Yes, there's doubts in Peter's heart. But there is faith, a little faith. We will note that later. And there he fixes his eye upon the Lord, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. However, it all changes. Notice verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Suddenly fear comes again. He'd taken his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. How up to date and relevant is the word of God. We can identify with this, though it took place some 2,000 years ago. Beginning to sink. It's often where the problem begins, isn't it? When we take our eyes off the Lord and we begin to sink in a difficult time. We are weak, aren't we? We are but dust and ashes. The Lord knoweth our frame. We are but dust. We are weak. There's the weakness of our nature. There is sin. There is difficulty surrounding us at times. And what do we do at times? Though we know we are to look to the Lord, we take our eyes off. And we sink a little further. Beginning to sink. And in the storms of life, there may be times when you begin to sing. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. But Peter here is looking at the storm. And perhaps we understand to a little. What would we be like in this storm? Beginning to sink. Maybe the clouds are gathered around you. And you're going into the depths like the psalmist in Psalm 130. You recall David. He cried unto the Lord out of the depths. He'd gone into the depths. He'd faced a difficult time. And there may be times in your life when you're in the depths. Everything seems against you. Maybe in the family, the workplace, the community, the nation. You're in the storm. But let's move on. We'll move on more briefly. And consider thirdly, an earnest cry to the Lord. An earnest cry to the Lord. Notice verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. There's Peter. He's sinking. He cries to the Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. And oh, dear brethren, when you are sinking or in the very depths, cry up to the Lord. Lord, save me. Psalm 161, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me. Now notice that verse very carefully. He's facing a difficulty. He's praying for help. But he's also praying for help in future difficulties. That's so important, isn't it? Note those words. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, he's praying for the future. Lead me. Yes, in the present, but also in the future. In the present situation, cry to the Lord and pray for grace in future situations as well. Cry out to God. Psalm 107 again, verse 27 and verse 28. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. At their wit's end, then they cry unto the Lord. And you know, sometimes the Lord has to bring us low to cause us to refocus and place our trust in him. At their wit's end. But then they cry to the Lord. Listen to C.H. Spurgeon. though at their wits' end they had wit enough to pray. Though at their wits' end they had wit enough to pray. And here's Peter, he's sinking. He's taken his eyes off the Lord. But whilst he is sinking, he remembers and he cries out to the Lord. Like Nehemiah in times of difficulty, cry up to him, remember me, O my God, for God. Lord, save me. It was a brief, short prayer, but earnestly meant. Just a few words from the depths of your heart to begin with. Lord, save me. He's the one we need. You know, as brethren, we can be a help to one another. We can seek to comfort through the word. But the great comfort we need is the Lord, isn't it? And to him we must cry. Lord, save me. Psalm 130, Lord willing, we sing that in a moment. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Out of the depths. The psalmist had sunk into the depths, but here the Holy Spirit is stirring his soul and he's beginning to pray. He's beginning to cry and he's beginning to be lifted up out of those depths. He's not out of them yet. But he's praying. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Lord, hear my prayer. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Oh, cry to the Lord. He delights to hear you pray. You know, as a father, I love to hear my children asking things of me. It's lovely to hear my children. Please, could I have this? How our Heavenly Father delights to hear his children pray. How he delights to see them when they are in the depths, in a childlike way, crying out for help. Lord, save me. No matter how low you feel, or the situation you are in, cry out to the Lord. Octavius Winslow, pray, pray, pray. Out of the depths of your difficulty, your need, your sorrow, cry mightily unto God. There is no depth too profound, no darkness so dense, no need so pressing, or perplexity so great, but from it you may cry unto God. There is nothing impossible with God. All things are possible with God. Cry out to him. Talk to him. And remember, help is so near. Lord, save me. Deliver me. Protect me. Deliver me in thy good time from this difficulty. But whilst I'm in it, protect me, surround me, encompass me. The angel of the Lord encompasseth those that fear him. Oh Lord, come and surround me in this trial. And in thy good time, deliver me. Cry to the Lord for mercy. It may be just a few words. Make sure you utter them in your distress. Fourthly, divine assistance. Now we have already observed the power of Christ, firstly, in coming to them, walking on the sea, and then secondly, in supporting Peter. Notice verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught them. Rather, secondly, supporting Peter so as to walk on the sea. You note that there. But consider thirdly, another instance of divine power is found in verse 31 and verse 32. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Dear brethren, there is divine assistance awaiting us in stormy weather. There will be the support. My grace is sufficient for thee. He will help us. Notice verse 31. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. He stretched forth his hand. And the Lord stretches forth his hand. He gets hold of us. He takes hold of us through his word in his providence. Turn with me to Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There will be supporting grace. I will help thee. It's a promise. Yea, I will uphold thee. I will strengthen thee. He's promised it. And so in your difficulties, he will help you. Further, he is able to support you through his word. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. This is my comfort in my affliction. How he comforts through his word. How the Holy Spirit so takes and applies. And it's our testimony, isn't it? We've been in difficult times, and that little verse the Lord has so used, and it's been a great source of comfort to us and help. This is my comfort in my affliction. Turn to the Lord and his word. There is divine assistance awaiting you. Be comforted, as we see here, his eyes upon you, and he will come to your aid. Divine power is ready to help and support. Remember, he raised the stormy wind. There in his power, he is able to help you when you're in the storm. Blessed be his name. Now as we draw to a close this Lord's Day morning, we must note our Lord's loving rebuke. Sometimes we can go through this passage and we can be comforted. The Lord is over all. He will bring us through, and yes, he will. But we mustn't overlook the rebuke that comes at the end here. Verse 31. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And my dear brethren, the Lord will need to rebuke us at certain times. If we're honest, we can easily take our eyes off the Lord. And there is little exercise of faith. Yes, Peter, there was a little bit. He cautiously requested that if it was the Lord, that he would bid him come unto thee on the water. But all his faith was seen as small. Now in the time of love, in regeneration, the Lord implants that wonderful gift of faith within our hearts. At times, it appears small. It's there. It's a wonderful thing. But at times, it appears small. What do I mean? The exercise of it. The Lord needs to rebuke us. A loving rebuke is needed. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Revelation 3 verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And the Lord loved Peter. And he loved those disciples. O thou of little faith. Are we humble enough this morning to recognise at times the Lord needs to say to us, O thou of little faith? But be comforted. If you feel rebuked, it is a sign of love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here, our Lord, he loves Peter. He so desires Peter to be so looking to him by way of faith. And the Lord so desires us to be so looking at him, so exercising faith, so fixing our hearts upon him. That's where the Lord wants us to be. And at those times when we exercise little faith, he in his good time will come and rebuke us. And yes, dear brethren, may even be in a storm, when we're so desiring help, the Lord may rebuke us. He loves you. He will not forsake you. So he will speak unto you. He will deliver. He will help. And if needs be, he will rebuke. So that in the next time, next difficulty, you may be found a little more exercising faith in him. But I close with verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They were come into the ship. The wind ceased. Why? Because the Lord's over all. The storm was raised up by the Lord, and the storm was calmed by the Lord. And they continued on their journey and reached their desired haven. And dear brethren, consider this morning. The Lord will come to your aid. And he one day will bring you home to heaven. And oh, what a moment that will be when we die and go to be with Christ, free from sin and free from trial. And one day we shall be there, dear brethren. But be assured of this, on your way to glory, he will help you. He knows your frame. He will come to your aid. Blessed be his name. What did these disciples do? They worshipped him. And dear congregation, this morning, give God the glory. Give him the praise. He has helped you so much. And he will help you all the way to heaven. And we will be brought there. What a moment when we will be free from all trials in the presence of our Lord. As the poet once said, the storms will rage without me. He'll bring you home. Dear brethren, we have a wonderful Redeemer, a wonderful Deliverer who comes in for us. Despite our sin, and he will carry us all the way to heaven until that moment we see him face to face. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.